just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Ron and Anian.
I think that technology is changing so fast that the hardware can't keep up with the differences in phones or differences in satellite radio, or something's evolving and changing, or they're just bad parts, which, you know, could be that too.
The Car Doctor.
I bought a 2013 Mini Cooper maybe in 2015, let's say, and it was the first car I bought that the oil consumption that I was told by the dealer should be a quart per thousand miles.
Isn't that great?
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now,
here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual novelty act.
Here's Ronnie.
Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow.
So, you think you're ready for an electric car in the next 10 or 15 years? Are you? You think so? I don't think so. Here's why. Hello and welcome. Customer came in this week, and I've known Barbara a good many years, and you tend to, when you get to know your customers, you tend to see the things and the traumas and the dramas in their life, and you realize that part of your responsibility as a mechanic is to give them guidance and direction on certain things. And in this case, I think I was spot on. Barbara came to me. She's a divorced single mom now and you know, obviously on a budget like a lot of people, and nothing wrong with that. It's just that's her situation. And her 2019 Escape needed a windshield. There was a crack along the bottom of the glass, and it was growing and getting bigger, and it needed to be replaced on a 19 Escape. And it's funny, about 2 months ago, we had to coordinate with our glass guy to do a 14 Escape, which didn't have advanced driver assist system, the ADAS, like Barbara's does. And it pretty much the same piece of glass, same shape, same size. It was a $375 piece of glass for the 14. Barbara had to go through insurance, and because it was a 19, this car has ADAS. This car has the camera in the rearview mirror, and it has the ability for self-park, for adaptive cruise control, you know, laser-guided, all the stuff, all the bells and whistles, right? All the things that, you know, we're heading towards. We're heading towards this, folks, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. It's going to happen, right? You just can't stop it because the car companies are crazy enough to think that this is a better way. So Barb's car needed a windshield, and the windshield was $600. Okay. And then after that, and she was going through insurance because she had glass coverage, being as it's a new vehicle like that, or a newer vehicle than the 14. And with a $50 deductible, she'd now lay out $550 out of pocket. And I said, yeah, but wait a minute. I said, your car has ADAS. It has advanced driver assist. It has the camera by the mirror, right? She said, yeah. I said, well, the system has to be calibrated now. And, you know, obviously she didn't understand that. She didn't. And I had to explain it to her. I said, you know, and I said, and you want a Ford piece of glass. So you have to watch the insurance company, which is the other issue, right? You have to watch the insurance company. The insurance companies are, their job is to make and save money. Your job is to keep your car in the best possible condition you can so that you get the best value for it when you go to trade it in, or just the safest operating vehicle you can create, right? I mean, that's what this is about. So, you know, they were trying to use an aftermarket piece of glass, which in some situations, yeah, I get it. You know, maybe it's not justifiable, but this is a 19. This is a two-year-old vehicle, a year-and-a-half-old vehicle now. I said it needs to be calibrated. The ADAS system, the camera, needs to be calibrated. I said it isn't just clear piece of glass. First of all, you've got to make sure you use a Ford piece of glass, because in my experience, the Ford glass, the manufacturer's glass, not just Ford, GM, Chrysler, all of them, the manufacturer's glass works the best. I haven't seen too much otherwise. I've seen a lot of strange screwy problems with aftermarket glass right now. I'm not saying it's always going to be that way, but right now, this moment. And I explained it like this. I said, you have to think of that piece of glass as a camera lens. I said, if you had a German camera lens, and I just happen to say a British camera lens, because I don't think the British are known for making great cameras, but they make, you know, somebody must make a British camera. And I said, they're both lenses, and they'll both focus, and they'll both be able to take a picture, but that German lens is a little bit more precise. And, you know, she got it. It made sense. Okay. So now I've got to go send this, you know, mom to back to the insurance company. I give her the keywords to argue with them. She takes it. She's calling the Ford dealer. The Ford dealer's telling her, yes, it needs to be calibrated. And the bottom line is, okay, this, what was a $400 piece of glass on a 14, because of the technology that's in the car, this 19, 5 years later, it's now a $982 piece of glass. It needs a piece of Ford glass, and it needs to be calibrated. Parts, labor, tax, $1,000. Are you ready for that? What are you going to do with an electric vehicle? And understand, an internal combustion, a gasoline engine vehicle, is a lot more forgiving in terms of technology, because, you know, let's face it, we've had the same modules in a lot of these cars now for a long time. I think technicians are better trained, or currently trained as good as they can be in some cases, to deal with it. Now you're going to put electric cars in the marketplace. And, you know, how is the aftermarket going to react to that? How are the aftermarket technicians going to react to that? How long will it take to get them up to speed? Will they be able to come up to speed? If you notice, I said the Ford dealer was going to do the ADAS calibration because the aftermarket is just now sort of starting to wake up, where they're looking at it and saying, okay, I'll make the investment. I hear numbers of anywhere from $30,000 to $45,000 to have ADAS calibration system in a repair shop. Never mind the space. You need a 30-foot bay, and then you need 28 feet in front of the bay, and it, you know, because it has to aim with mirrors and calibration boards and things like that. Are you ready for this? You know, they said by 2035, GM's going to be all electric. By 2030, a couple of other car companies are going to be all electric. Are you really ready for this? Do you really want this? Because you've got to look at the social and the economic impact this is going to have on society. That single mom, that divorced single mom, or that single mom that, you know, is trying to raise a couple of kids, and now all of a sudden the cost of replacing a windshield has more than doubled. What other things are going to more than double? What other things are going to drive that? You know, where's that cheap economical car that everybody just needs to get around in? And can they do that in an electric car? Right now, they're more worried about, are they going to be able to come up with the batteries, the battery material, and are they going to be able to keep that car charged? So, you know, technology is what technology is in that sense, right? We're paying for it. But are you ready for it, and can you afford it? And that's the question I'm going to leave with you as we kick off this hour of the Car Doctor. Hello and welcome. Glad to have you with me today. I got a lot to say, a lot to talk about. I got a bunch of things I want to kind of go over. I wrote a little sticky note. That's what's sticking on my glass here in the studio. I want to talk about plastic door handles somewhere in this weekend. We had a really great time with a 2011 Ford Edge, which, that's a whole nother thing, right? Door handles. You think, how hard could it be to fix a door handle? A door handle broke on a Ford Edge this week, and it took three times getting parts out of the manufacturer because the cataloging they have is completely wrong. And my parts guys, I think, are the best in the world at the Ford dealer I use, and just looking up parts for some of these handles. So I keep thinking to myself, every time I have a problem in getting parts or cost or technology or what it costs to repair a gasoline vehicle, how will that change with electric, since we seem to be, you know, everybody's screaming and dreaming for this, that they want this to happen. So what will that be? And anyway, we'll talk about plastic door handles. I want to talk a little bit about, we had a car we had to put a battery in, used a memory saver, and we confused the start-stop system. And we're going to talk about that this hour or next. I'm not sure where, but we'll get that out. But right now, let's see. Let's pull over, take a pause, and when we come back, we'll go to Wisconsin and talk to Jim about his 13 Volkswagen. So everybody sit tight. The Car Doctor's coming right back. Stay tuned.
John's number handy, 855-560-9900, for when you really need advice on your car. Here's Ron.
Hey, let's get over to Wisconsin and talk to Jim, 13 Volkswagen. Jim, welcome aboard, sir. Ron and Anian at your service. How can I help?
Hi. Thanks. Hi. I got the Passat 2013 i5 in it. When we get a stretch of 0 degree weather, first of all, the car is in the garage, so it's not below freezing in the garage. But when it's zero, we get a string of that. We might get a week or sometimes 2 weeks in a year. And the oil pressure message will come on, normally at the first and second stop sign and then maybe never on again. And there's times where it's a little worse and it even will go on at city speed. So the first time, this is my third winter of having it, the first winter, and I haven't solved it yet. The first winter, I immediately was going to drain the oil, or I did drain it, and as draining it, I noticed the condensation in the oil cap, and so thought, okay, yeah, condensation, that's the problem. Drained it. The oil filter also collapses. It's one of those that I'm sure you know, but
it's a canister style.
Yeah, it's canister, so it's not in the metal casing.
Right.
But that collapsed. Now, this condensation is only in the winter, and the oil pressure message is only in a streak of really, really cold weather, like we're having right now, but it hasn't gone on this year, but we're not driving the car as much or any cars as much this year. So it hasn't gone yet, but we're still in for some more zeros here, so it could happen again. But I think they're kind of all related. The collapsing of the oil filter seems to happen, though, anytime I change the oil, summer, winter, so that ends up collapsed. I don't know
right.
how long it takes.
I run in a synthetic oil,
change it in about an 8 months interval and 7,000 miles in that time frame.
You're not the original.
Yeah.
You're not the original owner, right, Jim?
I am not the original owner.
How many miles are on it?
Right now, 75,000.
Okay.
And I bought it with 40 on it.
Okay.
And it happened, I bought it in October, so it happened that first winter that I owned it.
They do have oil pressure switch problems, but I think you've got a couple of different things going on here. All right, let's be clear. The sludge is a concern. All right, if there's now, when you say sludge, is it the yellow cruddy pus around the dipstick that it's just kind of sludgy that way, or are you seeing something different inside the valve cover?
I didn't take the valve cover off. The oil cap, it's gunked in there. That white milky stuff. Quarter inch thick of it in there. I just looked at it.
Okay.
On a dipstick, I looked and. Boy, there's like a pinhead worth of milky on that.
Okay.
When I drain the oil, it looks great. You know, you don't see any milkiness, or the oil looks fine,
right.
Clean.
Did you have this sludge issue when you purchased the car, or is this something that's developed, do you think, while you've had it?
I'm guessing I may have had it, but I bought it in the fall, and you can't see it in the summer.
Right.
It only
okay.
happens in the,
okay.
the winter.
So your oil that you're using, it's synthetic, great. Do you know that it meets VW spec?
Yeah, it's the European brand. Can I say the brand?
Sure, go ahead.
Not? Okay, I started the guy that I bought it from gave me a 5-gallon thing, a Mobil 1, 040.
Okay.
I used that. So after I changed and that problem, I switched to Castrol and I tried a 530 in it. Not much change there. And I went back to I stayed with Castrol, but I went back to the 040, which was more recommended for the car.
What oil does it call for? I believe it calls for 530, does it not? What's the spec? Don't start changing what you think it needs. What is the spec?
I would have to get the owner's manual back
right.
out again.
That's number one, and I'm betting it calls for 530. That's number one. Number two, just because it says European does it say it meets Volkswagen spec? It should meet VW 502, 504.
Correct. It says that on the
okay. curtain. As long as it says that. But that being said, you know, there are some Volkswagens that take 040. There are some Volkswagens that take 530. There are some Volkswagens that take 020 and so on. So you've got to be right about the viscosity. Okay? If you want to look at, and I like their website, they've got some really great information. Go take a look at Liqui-Moly, L-I-Q-U-I, Moly. Liqui-Moly's got some really great information. They are probably the original oil in Europe, and they're coming now into the States. They've been here a while, actually, I should say it like that. But they've got a great website, a lot of information. You could go look up this Volkswagen. They'll tell you what oil calls for, what viscosity. They'll tell you capacity, and they'll lay out a spec sheet for you. Once you it necks down, once the menu necks down, you'll get right to your vehicle. It's a great reference, liquimoly.com.
L-I-Q-U-I?
L-I-Q-U-I. It's like Q-U-I. Liquid, but drop the D. Drop the D off of liquid. Liqui-Moly. L-I-Q-U-I, Moly. Google search it and it'll come up. I think it's liqui-moly.com. All right, but they've got some really great reference there. That being said, just establish you've got the right oil. That's number one. Number two, we got to get the sludge out of there, all right, which is a separate problem. All right, when you're out on the web, get out to berrymanproducts.com. Go look at their high mileage oil rejuvenator. All right, they talk about sludge removal. Stuff works great. I want you to pour a can of that in, and if I recall the directions on the can correctly, you can drive the vehicle with that in there. Verify that. Look at the directions on the can. You'll find that info at berrymanproducts.com. Let's get the sludge out.
Okay.
When we get the sludge out and we get the right oil in the vehicle, if the problem is still there as far as low oil pressure, then, and you can do this now, but I think now it might be an erroneous reading. Believe it or not, that low oil pressure, if that oil pressure switch has a problem, you can see a fault code. You'll get a P as in Peter, 164, B as in Baker, fault code stored for the oil pressure switch.
Okay.
You know, everything comes back to the computer today, right? So let's take a look at that. Do we have any fault codes? Do we have a faulty oil pressure switch? Or do we have an oil pressure switch that's clogged from the sludge from possibly the wrong oil? You know, everything daisy chains, right?
Yeah.
Everything daisy chains. So we got
it.
We got it. And listen, I get it. You know, this oil feels better. This oil sounds better. I understand that. But, you know, I've attended a couple of oil seminars, and it's gotten to the point now where I question if anybody's using the right oil. And I know that's being paranoid, but the oil specs are written so tightly and so exact that it really is a case of you've got to use the exact spec oil that meets the manufacturer's requirement. Otherwise, you can create issues. So, in order, Liqui-Moly, Berryman, get out to berrymanproducts.com, and then let's do a scan and see what sort of issues we have there. And I think we'll get to the bottom of it. Keep me posted, and I'm here if you need me, Jim. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Service. Let's get on over and talk to Rob in Tallahassee. Rob, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
How you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Ron?
Good, sir. What's going on?
Let me get outside this metal building.
Yeah.
And did Tom tell you what I was going to talk to you about today?
No, sir. Absolutely not. Okay. What's going on?
Well, I'll preface it with this.
Uh-oh.
I'm probably about the same age you are. Came over the muscle car era, started working on cars with me and my buddies around 15. And been working on my own stuff ever since. And I am not a big fan of rebuilds in a can, trans, motors, anything like that that's, you know, like a snake oil type thing, right?
Right, yeah.
And I blew my own head gasket in my CRV by being on the phone while I'm trying to work. And it got an aired pocket in it when I was changing the coolant, and it overheated, and it blew the head gasket. Well, it was seeping a little bit all the time. You always smelled that sugar smell. And I finally said, I am going to try that stuff that Ron is so high on, that K-Seal. And I'll be dog, brother, if it didn't work champ.
It's amazing, isn't it?
So it is. And so I really wanted to just tell you how much I appreciate the show, how good you are, how much information you give out, and how dang great on automotive you are. So,
well, thank you, Robert.
I appreciate it. You gave me a great tech tip. Instead of me pulling the head on that thing, I tried it, and dang, I don't have to pull the head and get it machined and all that kind of junk.
And, when we tell you things about K-Seal, when we talk about that Bugatti block that it fixed, when we talk about the things that we fix in the shop, it's real. It's real. We really use this stuff, and it really does work. And a lot of guys, I've learned that the guys that are complaining about it the most, that are the negative sayers, we'll leave it like that, those are the guys that I think have job insecurity, or they think that it's chewing into their pocketbook, it's chewing into their wallet. And what they don't see is, you want to make a customer loyal, you want to make a customer come back time and time again, do something like that. Tell them, hey, listen, instead of a $2,000 engine repair, we're going to put a bottle of K-Seal in it and watch it for 3 to 6 months and see where we are in 6 months. And maybe we'll be good for a year and 2 years and 3 years. And a lot of times it's a permanent fix. It really is, as long as the cooling system doesn't degrade any further. And, right. It just flat out works. It just flat out works. It's like having a cooling system mechanic in the glove compartment. If you put one in the glove box before you send your kid off to college, I keep telling people, it's handy.
It worked. I am the most skeptical, so is my son that turned me on to the place. We are skeptics. Nothing good comes in a bottle like that.
Yeah, right.
I was skeptical, but you were really passionate about it and how it worked for your shop. And I said, I'm gonna go for it, and wow. I'll be darned, it really did work. So thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Rob. You take good care down there, Florida way, and thanks for being part of the Car Doctor family. And we appreciate the reviews. You know what? We appreciate hearing from all of our listeners, good, bad, or indifferent. We want to know what's going on, because we're only here to give you guys good information, and that's our job. Mission number one, right? That's what the Car Doctor Radio Show is all about. Let's get over to Stan in Minnesota, 2000 Buick Park Ave. Stan, welcome aboard, sir. How can I help?
Yeah, Ron. We had 40 below this morning. It's kind of hard to start in the car.
Let me absorb that a minute, Stan. It was how cold this morning in Minnesota?
40 below.
Oof.
Actual temperature.
Oof. Okay. God bless you.
Yeah, it's supposed to be colder
tonight.
Yeah. Anyhow, it looks like I got to change the battery in my car. Do I need to put a temporary power supply in there so I don't screw up too much with the computer?
On a 2000?
I know I got to change the clock.
On a 2000, Stan?
Yeah.
No, sir. It's really not necessary. You might lose radio settings, but, that's easy enough to reprogram. Yeah, just, program the one that carries the Car Doctor, and other than that, the heck with everybody else.
one time my battery went all dead a couple years ago, and my gas gauge flipped around to the back side of the peg.
Well, that was probably the result of how it was jumped. There was probably a surge when the battery was jump-started, when they had to jump-start the car. How did you fix it?
I took a strong magnet and
yep.
I pulled it around to the
yeah,
other side.
That's the trick. Put a rag around the magnet so you don't scratch the plastic dashboard. And and you
but
can pull the gas back around the other way.
Giving the power supply though.
Yep. So, but no, sir, you should be fine. You should be fine just as you sit. All right.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Ron.
You're very welcome. You take good care. I'm Ron Anning, the Car Doctor. We are back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Anning, the Car Doctor, here at 855-560-9900. Let's get over to Dave in Vermont. Dave, welcome aboard, sir. How can I help?
Well, I was just curious. I was going to comment on some discussion that you had a week ago about oil consumption on a lot of these cars with the entry-level four-cylinder engines. And, the fact that a lot of them have oil consumption. I'm in fact, a car dealer, independent. and a service shop, and we run across this way too often where these cars that are running fine, but they're going through lots of oil. And I remember you discussed last week about light-duty piston rings and all that. And I just wanted to make mention of the fact that I've noticed over the years that the interval for oil service is now, and many cars, 10,000 miles, most cars, 10,000 miles, and some cars, like BMW, 15,000 miles.
Right.
And that's a long way on oil changes.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering what else you found that we can help our customers with that to see if we can't rein this thing in somehow without having to rebuild the motor every time.
Well, what I, you know, Dave, whenever I have this conversation at the counter, and I appreciate the question, I think it's a great question, is I tell people point blank, listen, I'm not going to retire on oil changes. I'm not here to sell you an oil change to make my number, okay? You know, that's not my quota. My job is to take proper care of the vehicle. BMW, if I'm not mistaken, in the last 5 years has rolled back that 15,000-mile interval. I understand now they're hovering around 10,000 to 12,000 miles depending upon the vehicle, because at the 15,000-mile mark, guess what? They had issues. You know, oil just can't, it just can't do it. The thing I always make people aware of too is a vehicle manufacturer wants to sell you a car. Listen, let's call it what it is. Right. It's marketing. It's not designed to make that car last a long time. It's to make that car last until you're ready to buy another one. And hopefully it's 3 years, because that's the cycle. That's when they want that car back and they can sell it to the next guy and, you know, create that perfect scenario. The person that, you know, is going to buy that used car that's doesn't want to spend 50, but they've got 20 or 25, and they want that car with 40 or 50,000 miles on it. You know the story. This is what you do for a living, right? That's the perfect scenario. What I tell people is, I explain it like this. I just said this yesterday to someone. We were talking about Carol had come in. She had gotten a flat on a Sunday. And where she went to a tire store, and I'm not condemning all tire stores. This guy was just a little hungry that day, and he condemned all four struts on her 05 Toyota Highlander with 190,000 miles on it. You know, oh my God, you need shocks and this and that. And, you know, here's a single mom raising a kid. You know, she's panicked. She stopped in, we put it up in the air, and I said, yeah, the dust boots on the back are torn. I'm not worried about it. It's quiet. It's not clunking. There's nothing leaking. Drive it. Don't worry about it. All right.
I can't tell you the number of times that we've had that same conversation with the same response.
Yep. And I said to her, I said, do you want to change the oil? And she says, well, I don't have the mileage. I said, yeah, but you're a month late. And then I explained to her, I said, you know, the problem is that if you could get in your car and leave New Jersey and drive to California at 55 or 60 miles an hour steady, stop for gas, never cool down, right, and come back, you could probably make that trip 1.5 or 2 times. You could put 10,000 miles on the oil. The oil stays cleaner. There's no condensation. There's no cool down period. There's no variation in load and everything that goes into what breaks down oil. The problem is you're doing stop and go driving. You live in North Jersey. Traffic grows here like the sky is blue on a spring day. It just, you know, it's just the abuse the oil goes through. What I tell my customers and what you can tell your customers and maybe it'll work is we're so willing to spend $5 to $10 for an overpriced cup of coffee at least once a week, then you know, take that, skip one fancy cup of coffee, put an extra oil change into the car, and watch how much better the car runs, how much better it lasts, how fewer problems you have. Because when you get into that oil-burning arena, you're not just burning oil, as you well know, Dave, right? You're contaminating the catalytic converter, the oxygen sensors. You're hurting the rest of the emission control systems, and you're now going down that slippery slope of a failed engine. I have a very dear friend who used to be a service advisor for a local Toyota dealer, and we go to dinner, and he's just a regular guy, and we really connect. And I'll never forget, we were sitting at the diner one night for 4 hours talking about nothing like car guys can do over eggs, right? 10 o'clock at night. And he said to me, he said, you know, Ron, he said, where Toyota went wrong was when they went to the longer oil drain interval. We started seeing all of our problems right after that. And it seems like they've never caught up. And
I think that's true of most of them.
Yeah, it really is. They're not there. They're not there to make the car last. Lifetime warranty is until they think they you should have another car, which is typically 3-4 years. Because nobody at 90 or 100,000 miles is going to put what's probably a $3,000 to $5,000 engine in a car today, because oh my God, the car is old; it has no value. But they'll just go buy another car.
Just to show you how it's changed, the car I'm driving, which is a 2009 Audi A5, my own car. I've owned it 3 times now because it keeps getting traded in, for something newer.
Right.
And that car just turned 240,000 miles. I'll put a quart of oil in maybe at 3,000, and maybe when I get to 5,000 miles, it'll be down a half a quart. So we change it.
Right.
And that car is going to turn 300, I can guarantee you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I also give people the chicken soup is what makes oil conversation. You know, it's mom, your mom made chicken soup, my mom made chicken soup. So everybody starts with base stock chicken soup, all right? And then your mom put in a couple of the same additives as my mom, but your mom thought this was better and my mom thought that was better. And it was both good soups. It's just, you know, which one was a little bit better? Everybody's oil is a little bit different. But you know what?
Yeah,
all these oils have the same base stock chicken soup in them. And the rule of thumb, conventional oil, 3,000 to 4,000 miles. Synthetic oil, 5,000 to 6,000 miles. Prove me wrong.
Yep.
All right? You know,
that's what we've been saying, 5 to 6 or 7.
Dave, I'm floored by these guys, and I'll probably get 500,000 emails after this week about, you know, well, I take my, listen, do whatever you want to do. All right? It doesn't matter to me. You know, they'll waste all this time and money sending their oil out for analysis to the labs and come back, and it doesn't matter. Common sense.
Nope.
The other thing that oil changes do, if they're done properly, and I'll leave it here because I could go on about this for a couple of hours. The other thing that oil changes do in the hands of a good mechanic that's looking and honest and caring is it keeps the car safe and reliable. And it keeps that person upright and moving down the road in a much better position than the car that goes a year in between oil changes, especially when that becomes an older car. Dave, I appreciate the conversation. Good luck to you and yours. Stay safe. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. We're coming back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. Did you see the article? Yeah, it's a great article to read. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was asked a question in a recent interview where he talked about would he ever want to see his kids become race car drivers? And, you know, as a dad would say, listen, I want my kids to do whatever they want to do and be successful and be good at it. But he said, as far as being race car drivers, and I'm sort of paraphrasing here, his comment was no, because it's just too darn expensive. And I think about that, right? What it costs to become a successful professional NASCAR racer or any area arena of motorsports, right? What that's going to take to become that. And yeah, it's freaking expensive, as Dale Earnhardt Jr. said. And you sit there, and that's an exact quote, and you sit there and you say to yourself, it's expensive, which means it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And yet, we're going to convert this to an electric car country. And what's going to happen to NASCAR? What's going to happen to motorsports? You know, it's going to be very quiet. Can you see it now? You want to know what it's going to sound like going around the track at Daytona? For about 2 hours. Can you imagine that? It'll just be too weird. It'll just be too weird. So to Dale Earnhardt Jr., I hope your kids become what they want to become. Maybe it'll become cheaper and less expensive when it's electric cars and not necessarily internal combustion engine. I read that article and I immediately thought of electric cars and how it's going to affect it, as well as the rest of the country and as well as the rest of the industry. Hey, we had a 2011 Ford Edge this week that we had to do an outside door handle, a driver's door handle, right? Simple door handle. And it was, normally you can replace them from the outside. It's the door handle clips in and then slides back into position. And there's a little cheesy, for lack of a better word to put it, plastic chrome cover that sits in the back of it. But this one needed the reinforcement handle, the handle that sits, there's a plate that sits behind the door on the other side. So in the interest of let's build a quicker car coming down the assembly line, Ford puts the regulator, the power window switches, the lock actuators, everything onto a plate and then bolts it to the inside of the door. And then you have to take all that apart to get the actuator, to get to the plate, to get to the clip, to replace the door handle. The simple door handle becomes $500. You know, you got to realize that all this stuff is getting more complicated and more involved, and plastic has an infinite life. There's only so many times you can take plastic apart. Oh, the future of auto repair, where is it going? I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor, reminding you this time, every time, for a good time. Good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.